I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. My name is Marcus C. Speller.
My name is still James E. Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
I am Edmund Bradford.
Just to prove to you, ladies and gentlemen, that it is still the morning, Pete Donaldson did that little stunt and he will be disciplined later on.
Heavily.
Sounds sexy.
Yeah, it's always the most sexiest podcast of them all. It's the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Peter, what are you eating?
I'm eating a bagel. Marcus, have you seen borrowmydoggy.com? You know, I'm like obsessed with dogs, but I've never had a dog. You can borrow people's dogs, and they send you like a little kind of. It's a bit like Tinder, but for like errant crossbreeds and like little kind of Bichon Frises and stuff.
So, hang on, what's in the bagel?
Cheese.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why have you equated these things?
More importantly, why aren't you ready for work? Why are you not ready for work?
I am.
I'm the only person thinking that here.
I am. But I got. I was going through the short footballrambledaily.com emails, and then I noticed that I'd got an email from Borrow My Doggy, and there's a dog called Lady that genuinely, and I'm not no word of a lie, this little Bichon Frise dog looks like Myra Hindley. It is insane.
Oh, for goodness sake!
Honestly, I will send you the picture. It is an amazing dog that looks a little bit like a murderer.
When are you borrowing her?
Yeah. I don't know. I want to meet her. I want to know what's going on in her life.
You will not pass any kind of test to borrow a dog. I'm telling you that now. So just get over that straight away. It's a good idea, but it's not happening for you.
Turn up dressed as Edward Scissorhands. I won't hurt her.
How's the dog getting on? I didn't burn her.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello to all the animal lovers out there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm one of them.
We do. We love all the animals, ladies and gentlemen. But enough of that crap. Let's move on to the Bundesliga. Jim Campbell, your Bayer Leverkusen boys had the Bayern Munich men going for a short while, but they ultimately succumbed to the mighty men of Munich as they marched towards the title. Were you a bit gutted after the 4-2 loss?
Yeah, it's unfortunate for me. Very, very difficult seeing old Serge get on the score sheet.
Beautiful finish.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. What a player he is. We've let him slip from one of my great loves, and he's come on to punish another of my great loves, which is an unfortunate thing. But they are just ruthless, aren't they, Bayern? They are just utterly relentless. And like you sense that if they do go a goal down, it just doesn't really matter. Almost that they haven't noticed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They just haven't gotten around to scoring themselves yet. And they're an incredibly like well-oiled machine. And it's difficult for anyone else in Germany really to keep up to that standard.
When I started listening, when I started watching the game, and obviously Leverkusen scored quite early on, I thought, okay. Yeah, I'm in on this. I'm here to enjoy myself. This is a great start. And I have to say, without any kind of shame whatsoever, when Bayern Munich scored their fourth, I turned the TV off.
So, are you waiting
because for this is German football, which I will cast aside like an unwanted
bad penny
something
league.
Next week when Premier League comes back. I won't really. Yeah. But I thought, no, I'm here to enjoy myself here. I'm not doing this for any other reason to enjoy myself. And if Bayern Munich are going to make it this annoying, I'm not going to watch. I'm just going to check out of it.
Yeah. No, fair enough.
What do you reckon Arsenal have done with that £5 million that they sold Gnabry for?
Oh, God. Giving it to Mesut Ozil over the course of about 3 months.
Bought him a nice gaming chair.
That'll tide us over.
Have you seen that Müller and Lewandowski are leading assist makers and scorers in Europe? And I think there's probably a reason for that, guys, but they're giving the big clicks behind Munich saying that they're leading assist makers and scorers in Europe. It's like, none of the other leagues are still going. You're the only ones who've started again. It's not fair.
Yeah, but they're not, are they? They're not fair and they're very smug.
No.
I don't know if they're not fair.
Would you say that Robert Lewandowski scoring his 44th goal of the season means he's quite a good forward?
Yeah,
he's all right, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah. I'd like to see him do it in the Premier League, though. Until then, it doesn't count, etc., etc., etc. What do we think about the crowd noise? We've seen it now. BT Sport did it over the weekend.
Or, we've heard it. More
the
importantly,
Sport did it. Yeah. What did you guys think?
Don't mind it.
I liked it.
Don't mind it. Yeah. I think we're forgetting that like we are watching 11 men kick a football around against another 11 men. That's quite abstract at the best of times that you're invested in that particular situation.
I never forget that, Pete.
Do you never forget that? Okay.
I've got that kind of nailed down. I kind of know that's what's happening after all this time. So.
But if we're attributing like value and worth to that particular situation, I think we can get past a bit of crowd noise being played over the tannoy or over our TVs.
That's certainly a take.
Mm. I agree. I was just thinking to myself, if Lewandowski started his own team, would they be called Lewandowski? But then I thought, well, I won't bother sharing that with anybody.
You just have, mate.
You've tried to have your cake and eat it there, and I don't think you should be allowed either.
What else are you meant to do with cake, Jim?
Well, that's not what the phrase means, is it?
All right, okay. Well, let's bow down to the phrase then, and its stupidity.
phrase is the most important thing, Jim.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Bow down to the phrase.
Borussia
Dortmund. You'd maybe go a high pitch there.
Hertha Berlin 1-0, the Donaldson Moore derby. Mm. It finished. Luke Moore takes the bragging rights, PT. You must feel like there's egg all over your face.
No, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed calm.
I like egg on my face.
I like egg on my face. I like a footballer scoring and then just giving Jadon Sancho a public rinsing, saying that he needs to grow up a bit. I think that's a grown up bit of behaviour from a Dortmund player.
Yeah,
I missed that. Who did that?
Emery Chan.
Emery Chan scored, and then gave Sancho just basically both barrels, saying that he needs to grow up a bit. He needs to stop going, go to get a haircut and stuff.
Not in the aftermath of the goal.
He did not. Well, no, not in the celebration. No, he didn't run in the corner of the thing and just start shouting at the manager. No, just
give me a microphone. I got some things to say.
I think Sancho's doing all right, personally. I don't think we really...
Well, it was in reference to him having a haircut and apparently there was allegations he flouted the lockdown rules. That's why. And he got fined by the club, did Sancho.
Yeah.
He did, yeah.
But yeah, that was the reason.
I think what's happened there, Marcus, is that Lucien Favre's pulled Emre Can to one side and said, look, if we get a game where you score a goal and Jadon Sancho doesn't, what I want you to do after the match is I want you to kind of have a pop at him. And Emre Can's agreed to it, thinking, yeah, well, that'll never happen.
So
it has happened now, and now he's had to do it. But Jadon Sancho should have scored probably three or four goals in that game again. Mm-hmm. And can I just also say, it was great to hear Dempo on the comms again.
You love a bit of Dempo.
I love him. At one point, it's brilliant. At one point, Jadon Sancho picked up the ball around the halfway line, ghosted past a few players as he does. And Dempa didn't really say anything. At the end of the little run, when Sancho laid it off, he just went, oh, he's a beautiful mover. He just loves it. Loves the game. I love to see it.
And he's seen me at an indie night.
Yeah, that's not a phrase I'd use for you, Donnie, on an indie night.
No, no.
A beautiful boozer, maybe.
I'll take it.
Yeah, take it, mate. Ever since I've started supporting FC Köln, they haven't won a game.
Oh, that's annoying.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, so I'm switching to Bayern Munich, everybody. Easy. Every time I see a bit of the Bundesliga, I'm quite excited for the Premier League's return, to be perfectly honest with you. Did you hear that Sky Sports are introducing Celebration Cam for the return of the mighty Premier League? This camera will be placed to the side of the goal without a camera operator. And the point is to encourage players to celebrate to the fans watching at home, because there's no fans in the stadium. So I think that this won't be abused at all.
I absolutely love this. How barren must that creative meeting have been, that in an ideas session held by a TV company, the best thing they've come up with is a camera?
Well, I was watching a nature documentary over the weekend on and they kept putting little cameras inside the eyes of like animatronic animals, like a bush baby or a tortoise or a penguin. Are they going to put it just like instead of a linesman, just have like a little kind of shop mannequin, but with cameras for eyes? I'd love a bit of that.
But Pete, I think the reason they do that in those nature documentaries is to fool the animals to think that it's another animal, right? I know footballers haven't got the greatest reputation intellectually, but I don't think they're going to be fooled by the idea that there's a camera in the shape of a man. It must be a man, so we should act perfectly normally in the circumstances.
Lee Boy would have been fooled.
All I will say about this celebration camera is don't let Wayne Rooney near it.
No.
That'll be an absolute shit show if Wayne Rooney's on that.
Yeah. Stephen Gerrard kissed the camera once, didn't he? Old Trafford.
He did, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, very naughty.
Expensive. Those lenses are expensive.
Yeah, they are. There was that rugby player who signed one, didn't he?
Yeah, it was like 20 grand, wasn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, the most expensive signature of all time, quite possibly. With the sort of celebration cam, I think to myself, Peter, with your sort of chat of the animals documentary or the nature documentary, what you're sort of alluding to is you'd like a camera placed in the dressing rooms without them knowing it's there, and just to see how they get on in their natural habitat.
Well, presumably then, I'm regarding the natural habitat as the football pitch. But if you want to see a man's willy, Marcus, can be the weird voyeur that you're clearly on me.
I was thinking more team talks and all that kind of stuff.
Marcus, what I'm picking up from this is that, like, with all these new innovations that people are considering because of the way football is at the moment, yeah, the crowd noise, the camera, that kind of thing. I'm detecting, Marcus, that you might be a bit of a bluff old traditionalist and just want to watch the football. And there's nothing wrong with that. You don't want the gimmicks. I don't mind it. I get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think stick the player cam there. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I think.
Well, we'll see. We are going to find out, mate.
And when we'll realise that it was a bad idea.
Yeah, because it's almost half an idea, isn't it? It's not like there aren't other cameras they can celebrate in front of. In fact, they can't really help celebrating in front of them because the cameras are trained on them. Yeah. It's a funny one.
It is a very funny one. Did you see that Jurgen Klopp said that Liverpool could hold an open-top bus title parade when the lockdown is fully over, even if that means halfway through next season? Which I quite like, actually, because, I mean, it's not arrogant to think that Liverpool are going to win the league, of course. And I think Klopp did say something like, well, you know, obviously we still need to sort of take care of it. But I do quite like the idea of, like, a February open-top bus tour or something like that around the city.
Well, look, during a massive pandemic, I think open-top, everything's a pretty good idea. So open-top plane, that's what I say.
Well, again, don't do that.
I'm not an engineer.
Oh, now you tell us. Bit late. You're almost 40. Now you tell us that now.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Klopp said he's keen to win their last 9 games of the season to make sure the season is remembered. I thought to myself, I think the season will be remembered.
Yeah, I'll stick in the mind this one, all right.
Oh, yeah. was that 2011 or 2020? Yeah.
Is that the year Leicester won the league? No, no, it was when Liverpool won. Okay. Well, speaking of Leicester, Chelsea have stepped up their interest in Ben Chilwell. Leicester reportedly after £60 million for the 23-year-old who's contracted to 2024. Yeah, I know, it's a lot of money, isn't it?
Is that their base fee for players now? Like Maguire or nothing? That's all we're accepting. That's a bare minimum.
Well, they're obviously ones to drive a hard bargain, Leicester, is the money they got for Maguire and so on.
Chelsea are in a surprising position as well, aren't they? Because obviously, you know, they didn't spend any money in the summer because of their transfer ban. And I don't think they signed anyone in January, did they? So weirdly, they're now in a position where they're kind of the only club where everyone knows they have money. And it looks like they're about to splash a fair bit of money on Timo Werner as well. And so I guess, like, it's going to be quite easy for clubs to kind of play hardball with them a little bit. And I think Leicester, as you've alluded to there, Marcus, are very, very canny operators when it comes to that. So I think they're just doing their thing. But they wouldn't want to lose Chilwell. It would be expensive to replace him as well.
I think if they were offered 60 million, though, Luke, would you?
Well, that's what I mean, though. That's what they need to make it worthwhile for them.
Yeah. Well, I think that Ben Chilwell was a good player. It's a problem area for Chelsea, as we actually mentioned, I think, on Friday, maybe even last Monday. So I understand why they want to go after him. And then Chilwell's got 4 years left on his contract. He's a decent earner. He's England's left back. And there's going to be a premium on him because Leicester won't want to sell him. So I don't really know where the transfer fee comes from. I mean, I don't really know where they find those when they're reported. I'm not entirely sure if I know where they find those numbers from. But clearly it's going to be a lot of money. I mean, there's no question about that. He's got a lot of good years ahead of him as well, Chelsea. Chilwell. So I think it'd be an amazing move for them. But I have to just applaud Chelsea's business. I mean, they seem to be doing really good business at the moment, and they've got a lot to be excited about. I think he'd fit in there perfectly, actually. I think it's a really good move. But I wouldn't like to see him leave Leicester anyway, because Leicester are an exciting team and he's a big part of that. So, Marcus, I know you've got a lot of affection for Leicester in the top flight, so presumably you wouldn't like to see him move on either.
No, I mean, I think we've all enjoyed Leicester this season and what Brendan Rodgers is doing there. So to lose Chilwell would be a bit of a shame for them. But then we thought that about Harry Maguire, and they bring in a very good replacement in Söyüncü, or forgive pronunciation.
Yeah, they have done brilliantly with them.
Who's absolutely superb. So you would think with what they're doing at the club and so on, they just wouldn't sell him and think, oh, right, we've got nobody now. You would have thought that they'd be very aware of Chelsea's approaches and their interest in the player. And they would be, I mean, I know it's in the current climate, obviously it's a bit more tricky than normal. But Leicester now, footballers abroad will be well aware of who Leicester are because of what they did a few years ago. They'll be aware of who Brendan Rodgers is, probably, and what they're building. You know, so they can attract players. And the obvious example is what happened with Maguire. But I would think if they sold him for a massive amount of money, like 60 million, that's an enormous fee. I would trust them to do something decent with that money and find a decent replacement.
Yeah, that's a different angle to it. But I think, given that he's also been linked with Man City as well in the press this morning, it seems to me that maybe he has made his agent or his people aware that he is available to the prospect of moving on. But and I understand your point, Marcus, but the other side of that is just that Leicester are almost certainly going to be in the Champions League next season. They're building something there. They've got an exciting young team with a manager who's clearly improved an awful lot since he's been managing and could take him to even higher heights. Leicester fans look pretty upset about this based on what I read this morning, as you can understand. I just wonder if it's PR-wise, it's a very, very negative backward step for Leicester in a time when they're trying to build something interesting. So,
yeah,
I don't know. But you can't stop players if they want to move these days, and we all know that. So I suppose it's one of those things.
Yeah. Well, Brendy Rodgers, let's get back to the man in charge, you know, has been telling his players to watch The Last Dance, obviously the Chicago Bulls documentary. He was speaking about Phil Jackson, the coach, and his very own managerial style. And I just picked one quote out from a piece with Brendan Rodgers. I try to understand the player. And before that, understand the person. I care about people first and foremost. The BR on my shirt doesn't mean anything if I'm an idiot as a person and can't connect with people. Does he realize that's his initials, not some sort of title?
Maybe he thinks it stands for Boctor.
Maybe. I will treat them like my own son. I will give them advice that I would give my own son.
I love it. I'm leaving you, Mum. It's not about you.
There's nothing you've done.
It's nothing you've done. Well, he did cut his managerial teeth in the violent leagues of Puerto Rico / Glasgow, just like Jackson, I think it's fair to say, old Roger. So. And I'd very much like a tiny man in a shirt and like a perm mullet just to follow James Madison around. I'd think that look would be just something else. Have you seen that guy on The Last Dance? He's like this short guy who follows Michael Jordan around, and he's got a beautiful perm. He's always immaculately dressed, shirt, massive perm. I think a moustache as well and glasses. Beautiful look. I'm going for it.
The thing that's amazing about this, right, is that Phil Jackson, obviously legendary coach of the Chicago Bulls, he spent time, like literally spent time on the Sioux Lakota Reservation. And he spent so much time there and learned so much that he actually ended up writing a book called Sacred Hoops, which is about like Native American spiritual practices and how they apply to sport and stuff. And so he's actually like really lived it, and he applied all those, for those who haven't seen The Last Dance, he applies all those kind of things he's learned to his team, and they all really buy into it, and it makes him really successful. But I absolutely love that Brendan Rodgers just thought, you know what I'll do? I'll do a bit of Native American wisdom with the gang. That'll go down well. Yeah. You're not Phil Jackson, Brendan. You know exactly who you are. You know exactly who you sound like doing that. It's not the same thing, mate. All right? It's not the same.
He said another brilliant line in there, which was, you have to find a cause. It's about emotionally activating the players as if they were supporters too, to play with intensity and purpose in their game. I love that, emotionally activating the players. Mm. I also love, Marcus, that you refer to him as the man in charge. I like to think that's your sort of nickname for him.
The thing is, though, but Rodgers, I actually agree with a lot of what he says. I know we have a bit of a joke. Yeah,
so do I, but he just says it in a funny way.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's absolutely it.
I don't think, Marcus, I should probably say that, I mean, it's easy for us to sit here and snipe on the sidelines and take the piss out of him, but he's had an amazing career so far, and I'm sure he'll go on to even better things.
Look what he's doing there.
It works for him, doesn't it?
It certainly seems to.
Yeah, I think we love Rodgers. We love old Brendy, and we love his delightful ways. And he is he's definitely doing more than an all right job at Leicester City. We can very much agree. While we're on the subject of managers, gentlemen, I thought I'd throw this in there. I don't suppose anybody saw Mark Bosnich's comments from last week.
No, I didn't. No.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, if you're asking, I'll be telling. Melbourne Victory are looking for a new coach, and out of nowhere, Mark Bosnich suggested that old Sven-Göran Eriksson should be the man.
God.
I've always agreed with old Bozza.
Especially on some of his habits. Yeah.
The reason none of us have heard about that is because none of the rest of us have Google alerts set up for Sven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Marcus, what I would say is that, you know, you've got Marcus Speller and Mark Bosnich there. One that's taken a huge amount of recreational substances has really affected his judgment. And Mark Bosnich.
Mark Bosnich. Hey. There we go.
Well done. Well done. Very pleased with yourself there.
Very pleased, actually.
Before we talk about the Champions League, talking about people being pleased, Jim Campbell, you must be very pleased with Arsenal. They beat Charlton 6-0 in a friendly at the Emirates with Eddie Nketiah bagging a hat-trick. Hey, come on.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Take
exactly.
That,
ready for the Premier League. Ready for Manchester City.
Mugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I imagine that Man City will be absolutely quaking at the prospect of that, because they didn't even think to get a game in, as far as I'm concerned. So they haven't even got any form, and our form is red hot. So shut up, City.
You say, as far as you're aware, well, you weren't aware about Bosnich's comments about Sven.
Oh,
you're obviously not in touch with the football in the world. Man City could have had three friendlies over the weekend.
I might end up with cake on my face.
Jim's probably right, because Pep Guardiola is famously sloppy on details, so I'm sure he probably hasn't had a warm-up.
He probably didn't bother.
If he gets interviewed at half-time, if they're going to do that, when the coverage comes back, Pep Guardiola is scratching his head 2-0 down. I just didn't think to have any friendlies. I didn't think to get us warmed up.
No, I imagine him saying this. I've been surprised, to be honest. I forgot to set the alarm this morning. I had no idea that football was starting again. No one told me. I thought we were starting again in August.
Maybe I am a bald fraud.
On Football Manager, he just clicks ask assistant to take credit management.
Storm out.
Yeah, storm out of the press conference. I'm enjoying the fact that all of these little friendlies are sort of taking place with very little. It's like behind like a kind of an iron curtain that no one can get any information out until the official channels have released their little videos filmed from the top tier of the stadium. Newcastle beat, one Newcastle team beat another Newcastle team. They may actually have just cancelled each other out.
That is training, Pete. That's just an exercise to ensure that a Newcastle United team actually win a game. We're playing ourselves.
They gave Bentaleb a goal anyway. It was an absolute howitzer. But Steve Harper refereed an 11 versus an 11 at St. James's Park at the weekend, which is there nothing the Test tube share given can't do?
Yeah.
Nothing. Even in 2020.
Has he even got a job there, or did they just ring him up?
I think he joined the same time as Shaw Ramiobi when Mike Ashley's PR could not have been lower. I think he was employed around about the same time. And Shaw Ramiobi came out with some choice pro-Ashley quotes. His colours to the mast on the Ashley situation. Disappointed a lot of people.
Do we know how many Steve Harpers there actually are?
Oh, what, do you reckon it's like... I'm trying to think of Hitman 47, the video game, where there's like 47 of them.
that works.
I can't think of another pop culture reference.
He does a lot of stuff, and I'm wondering if there might be a few of him.
Yeah, I like him. He's busy. He's a busy boy.
I think it's just a relief that we heard that Newcastle United beat Newcastle United with bibs. 1-2-1 or whatever it was.
Pink bibs. I think it's pink bibs.
Was it? Okay, I see.
Don't even give an away kit. Cost money.
You see, the Champions League will apparently be completed with using a mini tournament sort of setup, potentially hosted in Lisbon. There's been a few places. I think Frankfurt was another one that was touted, but it looks like it may be hosted in Lisbon in August, which would be quite interesting.
Hot.
I think
because Portugal would be bloody hot.
It will be. Yeah, it will be incredibly hot.
Can you imagine?
No, I don't want to either. but there's no Portuguese sides are involved, and the country have had a low infection rate by other standards and so on and so forth. So there's a couple of reasons why I think they fancied Lisbon. But it'd be quite interesting to see the Champions League. And also as well, I thought to myself, some sides are already through and other sides need to play a second leg. I wonder how they're going to work that out. Because if you turn up and you think to yourselves, right, we've got a two-legged affair here, or maybe they'll just do it on a one-off game perhaps. To get into the next round. Whereas, like, Chelsea going to turn up thinking, well, we're already 3-0 down to Bayern. Should we just forfeit the game? You know, we're going to get really, really knackered and hot.
Do you know what I think the thinking here was? I think the thinking here was that the powers that be are almost certain that Spurs are going to go out to RB Leipzig, and you're never going to hit the end of it for Jose Mourinho. So I thought, do you know what? We'll just play it in Portugal. That'll keep him sweet. Just show him how much we love the country he's from, and hopefully that'll kind of dampen down the complaints a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely
right. It won't, though, will it?
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
He just says, how many holes does a straw have? 0, 1, or 2? The internet can't figure it out, so I've done what any sane person would do. Ask the Luke and the Pete.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and Luke Moore for an unplanned half hour every Monday and Thursday as we talk about, well, anything really, from your emails to life's great mysteries to this guy.
The noise you're going to hear sounds like a man being interrupted by a car. He isn't being interrupted by the car. He is making the car sound.
How on earth is he doing that? Beep, 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 beep. How does he make that noise? Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Beep, 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 beep.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stakhanov production.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble of Football Ramble Daily. Luke, there's a competition afoot.
There is, yes, there is indeed. It's about time for me to give you a Patreon update, but do not fast forward if you're not interested in Patreon, because it's a chance for you to win a pretty amazing prize. You can sign up and support us on Patreon, of course, where you'll receive loads of extra behind-the-scenes content and bonus podcasts from as little as $5 a month. But we also run loads of competitions for our members, and this week is no exception. Thanks once again to our friends at Toshiba. You can win a Toshiba 65-inch U29 Series TV just by signing up to our Patreon. That's a Toshiba 65-inch U29 Series TV. Simply sign up at patreon.com/footballrambledaily by 5 a.m. British time this Friday, the 12th of June. Everyone signed up before the deadline, including those of you who are already Patreon subscribers, will be eligible for the prize. Signing up to a higher tier also makes you more likely to win. If you sign up to our Supporters Club tier, you'll be entered once into the competition. If you sign up to our Ramble On tier, you will be entered twice into the competition. And if you sign up for our highest tier, as well as becoming an official friend of the Ramble, your name will be entered 3 times into the competition. So head to patreon.com/footballrambledaily by 5 a.m. on Friday, 12th of June to enter, and we'll announce the winner on the preview show on the same day. Good luck.
Beautiful. Bloody beautiful. Right, now it's time for emails with PED.
Your email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
Yes, and it's time for emails with me. Hello. This one goes out to, and indeed comes from, Matt the Blackburn fan. He's doing his own private time tunnel, guys.
Whoa, cool.
I know. I'm worrying. I'm trying to share my enjoyment of a true Ramble classic. As a Ramble fan and Blackburn fan who's listened to the show for a couple of years, I thought it would be fun to go back to 2009 and the earliest shows I could find, thanks Aircast, to hear my favourite podcast discussing my own team, whose fortunes have taken a turn for the worst in recent years. I just finished listening to June the 13th of 2009, that episode entitled Don't Be Shy with the Apple Sauce, where highlights included the introduction and induction of the great Luis Figo to the Dean Windass Hall of Fame, a discussion of Mike Ashley's attempts to sell Newcastle United, where we heard this one before, and Pete's revelation that he once had a job cutting up pork. The episode ended with an announcement that the Ramble would become a weekly show, and Luke's concerns that you'd never be able to fill a show with content with a schedule like that. I think you agree that looking back, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Keep up the good work. Matt, the Blackburn fan, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Daily, my friend. Enjoyable. Yeah, Ian Racy actually got in touch as well. The US TV also got crowd noise over Dortmund versus Bayern. Mm. The US broadcaster De Classica had artificial crowd noise added to it. The noise did indeed follow the action on the pitch appropriately, but I assume that's because they had someone sitting at a mixing board to control it and not because of any EA Sports algorithm. Now I'm sort of thinking, is it going to be an actual algorithm like that they're going to be using the kind of audio for, or they're just going to have someone on like a MIDI keyboard playing out the tracks that need to be played?
So I heard they were using the FIFA audio. 20 audio.
Yeah, audio, which is just the audio, right? You know, it's not just you know, telling the computer that a goal is about to be scored. I presume it'll be a person playing out the audio and mixing it together live. But Ian didn't like it. He said it would be one thing if it was played in the stadium and theoretically affected the players, but just adding it for broadcast added an unnecessary layer of artifice. We'll have fans back and a real crowd now soon enough. Until then, we're in a unique moment and should embrace that experience. Plus, it was very distracting to have Mark Schwarzer keep talking about how unusual the players and managers were finding it to be able to hear each other because the stadium was silent. At least give Mark Schwarzer the audio that everyone else is listening to. None of the other Bundesliga matches I've watched has had the fake crowd noise added. Ian Racy in Virginia, lovely to have you along.
Yeah, I think that's actually, it raises an interesting point, because there was a particular moment in the Dortmund game where I forget who was racing through on goal, and just the crowd noise didn't change. And that seemed really weird. It was actually, it was weirder than there being no sound. So, you know, it comes with that as well.
Get rid of the crowd noise.
shortforumbledaily.com if you'd like to get in touch with the show. We'll be back on Friday with more emails. Email show at footballrambledaily.com.
And now Pete is reading it out. Well done. Did you guys see this story, by the way? I really want to jump in with this. There's an artist on Instagram who's paid homage to the names that they couldn't quite get on PES back in the day. Remember, it used to be all about FIFA versus PES?
Yeah.
And FIFA had the rights to the names and PES didn't. So you'd have things like players like David Beckham and instead of Ronaldo, there was Ronarid, and West Ham were Lake District FC, and Aston Villa were called Dublin on PES 2, apparently. But this guy on Instagram has basically started putting out like football shirts, classic football shirts, but with those names instead. It's unlicensed.fc on Instagram.
Lovely.
I read about it on the BBC this morning. It's really funny. But he also says, for some reason, he says Pre-Evolution Soccer was for the purists. FIFA had all the licenses for the player names and the better graphics, but Pro Evo was better in terms of pure gameplay. Now, FIFA is everywhere now, isn't it? I play FIFA quite a bit, and lots of people I know do, and PES isn't really a concern anymore. But I do remember it being a genuine battle back in the day, and PES had its merits for sure.
PES 6 was the best PES. PES 6 was the best set PES game, and but their online play was where FIFA kind of really nailed it, and that's how they got a bit of a foothold, because it wasn't the better game. Pro Evolution Soccer was the better game. I was even more of a dirty boy. I enjoyed the Japanese import of Winning 11, which is the Japanese original version.
Of course,
because it gets converted. It starts as Winning 11, I believe, and then it gets converted to the Western Pro Evolution Soccer. But they don't even have nowadays. Pro Evolution Soccer doesn't even have the Japanese leagues. So it's made in Japan, and they haven't even bothered to pay for the Japanese leagues.
It's made by Konami, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a good job they had a rebrand of it, because it used to be called International Superstar Soccer, which people used to call ISIS.
Yeah.
Now they call ISIS Pro, you don't
ISIS, like. Yeah. But I always called it Pro Evo as well, like the whole PES thing. I don't know really where that's come from. I think that's been retrospectively added, but because to
backronym.
Me, when I knew it was Pro Evo. Yeah, very much so, a retcon. But it was brilliant, wasn't it? It was so much more fun, and like, goalkeepers would parry and you could score from that. And that like that never happens in FIFA. There was a couple of nice little touches like that. It was just a bit more fluid, and you didn't have to take a month off work to work out how to square it in the box.
The one thing that I say about Pro Evo, like, is like back in the day, it had a bit more playfulness to it. You'd have like have like a cheat code where you could get like a tiger mask on the head of footballers and stuff. They were just a bit more playful and joyous, and you could do little celebrations and give people like thumbs up or thumbs down if you thought their goal was crap. There's one thing on Virtua Striker, which is another one on the Dreamcast, an arcade game that I enjoyed immensely. When you would you'd get points for every goal, so you'd get like say 300 points for a really well-hit shot from outside the box. So it would encourage people to score really fantastic goals. And that's not something that's ever been replicated on any video, on any football video game. I wish they'd bring that back. You get like a rainbow that would shoot out of the back of the ball if you whacked it from almost the halfway line. I want to bring that back.
Basically, anything that makes it not like football, Pete.
Yes, pretty much. I need a tortoise with a camera for an eye. That's a rocket at some point.
Anything that's like a sort of anime fever dream and you're all over it.
Yeah. Miyazaki kind of nonsense.
Preferred kickoff too. Right, ladies and gentlemen, now it's time for Pete's Film Club.
Pete's Film Club.
It is time for Pete's Film Club, the film you were tasked with watching. Not as good as last week's, but it was The Big Green. The biggest game in the world comes to the smallest town in America in this action-packed comedy about a group of bored misfits who become local soccer heroes. Nothing ever happens in Elma, Texas, at least not until British school teacher Anna Montgomery arrives. Roll the trailer.
Something radical finally happened in this town.
Nothing radical ever happens in this town.
Wrong.
In a place like Elma,
that's a code red.
A little news.
I'm the new teacher.
No way.
Can be a big event.
Don't waste your time with us.
I can break the whole ABCs.
We're losers.
And just one person.
Well, why don't we just try something else?
Can make a world of difference.
Where'd you learn to do that?
Walt Disney Pictures presents...
This is a soccer ball.
The story of the worst soccer team...
We don't play soccer.
...to ever hit the field.
Oh, you're showing such potential.
Is that the team we're playing?
They got little kids and girls on the team.
Their goalie is starting to see things.
I'm not feeling so good about this.
That's a bird.
Their captain wants to quit.
Could we get out of here? This is embarrassing.
And even their newest player...
I'm your man.
...is shooting blanks.
Go for the kill.
But playing for the smallest town in the state...
They brought a goat!
...is about to become...
They're nothings from nowhere.
We're not the nothings from nowhere. We're the Elma nothings.
The biggest kick of their lives.
Yeah. Steve Guttenberg, he's back and he's playing the exact same louche, sexually charged...
Deputy Sheriff.
Deputy Sheriff that he usually plays in every film he's ever been in. It was actually quite stressful, I thought, renting this online because I rented it on YouTube, it was £2.49, and clicking that, yes, I will watch this in the next 24, 48 hours, the clock starts turning and then you're like, have I got enough time to watch The Big Green? Do I want to even watch The Big Green? Guys, what do you think? Luke, you obviously get a little bit angry when the film's not very good, but what do you think of this one?
Well, I had that same exact problem with renting Diamantino to the point where I had to rent it twice, which is very annoying.
Did you?
Oh,
really?
Yeah. No.
But The Big Green... thankfully, my wife is a passionate subscriber to Disney Plus, so I had The Big Green for free as part of that. And I didn't hate it. I didn't particularly like it either, but I didn't hate it. I mean, there's a great line in Disney sort of kids' movies through the 90s. I don't know if you guys have heard. They do quite a lot of movies for kids, but on the non-animated front, I mean, there are a few that have got a good bit of charm. There's one, Heavyweights, which you guys might have seen with Ben Stiller, which is actually really fun, quite problematic seen through 2020's lens, but I remember it being a fun sort of movie to watch as a kid, and it was genuinely quite funny, and some of the performances in it were good. This wasn't as good as that, and a lot of the adult roles, they kind of sleepwalk through them, and it's quite cliched, and Steve Guttenberg's, you know, terrorizing of a young English teacher who's new to the town in a quite a sexually aggressive manner was a little bit odd, yeah. I have to say. But I don't, I do, what I would say, the thing that separates this away, apart from the genuine muck in this film club, right down the bottom, the absolute despicable turds that we've been chucked up every so often. This is better than that. I mean, when the guy who suggested it said, "Oh, it's the first movie to only get 0 out of 10 or whatever."
Hang on, sorry. When you say the guy, it's Pete.
No, it wasn't. It was suggested by a listener.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay.
It was suggested by a listener, and because they said that it's the only Disney film to get 0% or something. It's not a 0% film. It's not a 0 out of 10. It's better than Soccer Dog. That's damning it with fake praise. I remember.
What about Playing for Keeps? It's comparable to Playing for Keeps.
It's better than Playing for Keeps because this has got a little bit of heart, and some of the kids are quite likable, and it's got a nice message to it. They're always talking about playing as a team, and it's got that classic sort of good triumphing over evil. Hammering the really cliched bad guy in it and stuff. It's fine. I thought it was fine. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It was perfectly fine. I didn't feel like I'd wasted my life. And it also made quite a lot of money at the box office at the time. And my wife said, obviously being from the US, she said she reckoned she saw it when it first came out and people quite liked it then. So it's not all bad. It wasn't all bad.
I agree, actually. I thought that, I mean, after goal three, anything's a bonus. Really. You know, I can't say that enough. But I thought well, I was particularly pleased because when the teacher was asked where she was from, because not normally they would. Just
oh, I remember
London,
this. Yeah.
She said Surrey, England. And I was like, whoop whoop. Yeah. You know, very very
represent.
Pleasing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it would have been truly complete if she just said, "Well, I actually grew up in Edinburgh, but I sort of say I'm from Surrey."
That's why I don't really support a team.
Yeah, I latterly supported Fulham. That would have been perfect, but you can't have everything, of course. So I did enjoy that. Do you know what? I thought the football scenes weren't that bad.
They weren't the worst.
Yeah, I thought they were actually sort of fairly believable, other than the atrocious goalkeeping. But there's a bit of a story there. The goalkeeper's got to try and get over his
hallucinations.
More vivid working dreams on the field, like Diamantino.
Yeah, I was going to say demons, and I think that's probably quite right. I thought the football scenes were okay. And, glad I did it never again.
I've heard that from you before.
Yeah, sums up this whole film club, quite frankly.
I'm broadly in line with what everybody thinks. It certainly wasn't like a harrowing use of an hour and an hour and a half or whatever it was. Like you know, certain things like Soccer Dog and Goal 3 have been. I think you're right about the football scenes, Marcus. I don't tend to sort of use that necessarily as such a marker in the same way that you seem to, but I think what they've clearly done
there football is films.
But I'm not watching that for like it's a film first. I'm not looking at it like, oh, I wonder how they exactly correct the football is. But I think what they've done in that game is they've clearly just had those kids play a proper game, haven't they? And you can see they've had a proper kick about and they've just used actual footage from that, and it is all the better for it because they've just cleverly sidestepped the fact that they're actors and not footballers, which works.
Just quickly, sorry to cut in, but very very quickly, like interestingly you say that though, the only kid in the team for Elmer Texas High School or whatever it was, middle school, who was actually good was that one kid, and he clearly is a dreadful actor. Like the quest to go on to find someone who can genuinely act and play football continues.
It seems to be that the guy from the first two goal movies that's actually American seems to be the only one.
McCoist.
I forgot we watched that.
Wayne Rooney as well. A new devil is arriving.
Did you notice that? Just gonna wrap up the school teacher in question, who was from Surrey, where you'd seen her before.
So I did recognise her, but I wasn't sure from where.
She was the hippie sister from the Wonder Years.
Oh, yes.
She's the grown-up sister.
That's right.
Strangely, go on to star in the first Soccer Dog movie. So there you go.
Oh, God.
I haven't seen it, and will not be doing that.
She's done two American soccer films. One of the cast name, enjoyably, is John Terry.
John Terry, yeah, I saw that.
He plays the bad dad, doesn't he?
Mm. There's and the writer of the film, Holly Goldberg Sloan, she wrote the screenplay for Made in America, which is obviously big licks back in the 80s. But more importantly, one of her recent writing jobs was Heidi for Paws, a live-action retelling of Johannes Spyri's 1818 children's classic Heidi, but with fully mouth-articulated dogs in all of the roles. So wow. Enjoyable. Enjoyable.
I feel like there was an absolute genius move from the director. Because whoever it was that directed it has clearly thought, you know what, this isn't a movie that's going to set the world alight. It might not be that easy to keep people's attention. So maybe every 7 or 8 minutes, I'm just going to chuck a goat in. Yeah. Goats are funny. Goats are just
goat
funny.
In it randomly the whole time.
Just consistently throughout it. Never really an explanation of why the goat was there. A man ends up having to kiss the goat as part
was
of it.
The team's
and,
mascot?
Yeah, it was.
It was the team's mascot, but like it was just hanging about the school before that. Like, and in fact, the beginning of the movie has a cartoon goat headbutting the logo of the movie, again, for seemingly no reason. And I'm into it. I thought that was a very, very clever decision. Also, you know the kid, that kid who played the goalkeeper, Larry?
Yeah.
He's an actor called Patrick Renner, and he was one of those kids who looked like an adult, and he's now an adult who looks like a kid.
I love that.
It's really strange.
And he's a big on Scientologist, isn't he?
Is that right? Oh,
yeah,
no.
He's a big Scientologist guy, yeah.
Oh, God. The less said about them, the safer. So, yeah, on his filmography, he's in a movie called Sometimes They Come Back Again. So I imagine that's of the highest quality.
I think I've seen the first one of those. Isn't that based on a Stephen? It's a horror movie based on a Stephen King novel, maybe.
Oh, maybe that's surprisingly high caliber for what I'd expect of that.
I think it's a horror movie for sure. I'm sure it is.
Also, just to wrap up, can I say there's an incredibly strange line that I enjoyed where when the teacher is in her class and she's praising America and talking about why she thinks she's special, that she thinks the kids are special because they're from there and it's always a dream to live there. And one of the kids just gives her a really withering look and says, "I think that was before Reaganomics, ma'am."
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Where did that biting social commentary come from?
Oh, mate. Enjoyable. Well, thank you for putting yourself through something like 10 or 11 frequently three-hour films. Just underwhelmed in a million different ways. It's been emotional for me. It's probably been very emotional for the listeners. But guys, I know you guys have found it very difficult to consume a stinking film every single Sunday night. But I have to say, because the English Premier League is back next week, we're ending Pete's Film Club.
Well, maybe we'll bring it back in the future if we fancy another little dip in.
Yeah. At the end of the season or something. But yes, thank you very much for indulging us for the last few weeks. I've had fun. I don't know about anybody else. I did manage to find a copy of Soccer Dog 1 on DVD, so I could have given it to the guy. So that search continues. If you have any leads on how we could stream Soccer Dog 1 or consume it in any kind of way, please let us know. But yeah, that has been Pete's Film Club. Hopefully it will return.
Oh, well, if it doesn't, we'll all remember this grand finale, won't we?
We'll all remember Dan the Dan goal.
Oh, yes.
What are you doing in 12 weeks of lockdown? Just watch one film, Dan the Dan goal.
Yeah. When people describe something, say, it's been emotional, they think there's the highs and lows, and it was, I got upset at one point. It was emotional, and the emotion was mainly anger.
I was upset the whole time.
Is feeling betrayed an emotion?
That's every week, Jim. Come on.
It is. Yeah, it is, let's be honest. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to Football Ramble or Football Ramble Daily. It's been a ruddy pleasure having you with us. Tomorrow, Jules and Andy are back, of course, with some non-film, football film chat. So that is well worth your time. But until then, say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Dan, 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 goal.
And it's goodbye from me.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.